miracles to succeed, every assessment was frightfully the same. Israel must win the war in the first 4 days. A prolonged conflict in which every Arab nation would join would be disastrous. No small country goes to war without the support of a major power, yet David Ben-Gurion felt in the depths of his being that Israel's partners, England and France, would falter, leaving her alone, outmanned, and outgunned. Israel must win the war in the first 4 days. All sorts of things were going wrong as D-Day approached. The ordnance reports all but crushed the spirit. No spare steel matting to roll vehicles over the sucking sands of the desert. Aged tanks being cannibalized, further reducing their already inferior armored force. Rifles from Belgium, not up to spec. No filters for the tracked vehicles to keep them from choking in the desert. A shortage of tank tracks, chains, pulleys, winches, flatbeds, four-wheel drive trucks, repair stations, batteries, belts, an obsolete air force of World War II piston planes to face double the number of the latest MiGs owned by the Egyptians. No aircraft batteries to defend the cities against Egyptian bombers flown by volunteers from Poland and Czechoslovakia. The orders to the brigade commanders were desperately simple. They said, in effect, "You have an objective. You must reach the Suez Canal in 3 days despite the resistance. You will not ask for reinforcements or further supplies, for there are none available." Worse was the constant gnawing conviction that the British and French would quit. This would release divisions of fresh Egyptian troops to reinforce the Sinai. If France and England failed to bomb out the Egyptian airfields, Nasser could put his Russian-made bombers to work on Israel's cities. "We must win the war in 4 days." Two of the brigades must traverse over 100 miles of semi-charted wilderness, and the 7th Battalion, the Lions Battalion, must be dropped deep into the Sinai behind enemy lines, exposed to a disaster, a sacrificial force. The old man had argued for hours with the defense chief of staff, Moshe Dayan, to try to dissuade him from parachuting the Lions Battalion near Mitla Pass. Dayan was adamant. It was the linchpin of the entire operation, a maneuver to initially confuse the enemy, then stop Egyptian reinforcements. When the brigade linked up with the battalion, the combined force would wheel south to free the blockaded passage to the Red Sea. Yes, there was great risk, but try to engage in a war without risk. Jacob Herzog, BG's confidant and closest advisor on the campaign, entered the room with Natasha Solomon. Herzog was pale, in a scholarly way, an Irish Jew, the son of the chief Ashkenazi rabbi, with a magnificent religious and legal mind. He put all the late communications and a day's summary before the old man. Natasha Solomon set a batch of papers on the desk, translations of messages from the French. Even at this hour, Natasha was a warming sight. She was one of those women who gained an extra dimension of beauty through weariness, a certain sensuality in the black rings of fatigue forming beneath her eyes, as if from exhaustion at the end of a day of lovemaking. She was softness itself, different from many of the rough-hewn Sabra and Kibbutz women, groomed in a Middle European way that made the silk of her blouse flow over her terrain and shout female even at 2 in the morning. An all but forgotten memory flitted through the old man's mind. A girl, long ago. Such a thing to remember at a time like this. Ben-Gurion picked up the summary, but his eyes were fatigued. He handed the papers to Natasha and waved her into a seat, then took up a pad and pen to jot notes as she read. The British were being very cautious, very cagey, deepening BG's distrust. Herzog tried to tidy up the day's events, but new events were already overtaking them. Both the Soviet Union and America were bogged down in their own problems. An American presidential election was to take place in a few days, and traditionally it was a good time to catch Washington off guard. Revolts against the Russians were brewing in Poland and Hungary. The students in Budapest had rioted, and the unrest was growing. Israeli intelligence estimated a Russian tank force would enter Budapest in a matter of days. Herzog reckoned these events could give Israel a slight advantage. Russia and America might be